Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay.
And ladylike. Ladylike. Lady, lady, ladylike. Lady, lady, lady.
Ladies night, and you're feeling right.
Uh-huh.
And the gays are here.
Yep.
Lady gay night. Lady gay night. This week on Minority Corner.
Ooh, what you talking about, James?
Well, Aneke, I have listened to the fans, and I've listened to the community and the corner, and, you know, we are a Minority Corner for everybody, so I am going to be talking about the history of the Latinos in the Civil Rights Movement.
Ooh!
Yes!
That's fascinating. I love it.
Yes, all inspired by John Leguizamo.
Okay. What's he doing?
I'll tell you. What are you talking about?
I am talking about black people.
Remember when he was in the movie Spawn? Oh, you're talking about black people on this podcast?
Shut up. I was going to say, I am not listening to the fans.
Gotcha.
And I am going to keep talking about black people.
Okay. Well, gotta balance it out.
He was in Spawn? John Leguizamo?
John Leguizamo, this is a very long opener, but John Leguizamo was the clown in Spawn.
Oh, right.
And he played the drag queen in Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Julie Newmar, or whatever
yes.
that movie was called.
Yeah, I think that you got it right. And he was also in Mario Brothers. I think he played Luigi.
Yes, let us never forget. He did. He did. Anyways, what are you talking about this week?
Black people and weed.
Black people.
And weed.
Can't wait. This is great.
It's gonna be good.
Wow. And we'll talk about Rihanna because we have some things to discuss.
Work.
Na 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 na.
We are back. We are back.
I'm going back to the United States. I'm already here.
You're back. You're on American soil. You're back wearing your Captain America shirt.
I am. I've got my gun. I've got my Bible. And I'm ready to be an American all over again.
I'm ready. A bald eagle perched on your shoulder.
I do. Yes, that's right. What did I miss? What happened?
Just, you know, your regular mill hate. Full talk from political candidates and
true. Yeah. Actually, I didn't really miss that. I saw the whole thing. I saw all of it watching from afar.
You didn't miss nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I was out with my boyfriend. We were walking around some village I can't pronounce. Maastricht? I gotta work on my Dutch. Some town, some Dutch town, and there was this older, he introduced me to this older Dutch couple, and I could see them, like, they were talking, and he's like, oh, he's from America, and they're just, like, speaking Dutch, Trump.
No,
I'm like, oh, God.
No. Can I just tell you that I'm so sick of Trump? I'm so sick of him. I want him just to, like, I want to put him on a little, like, iceberg and float him off to sea.
Yeah. I'm agreed. Maybe we could like fundraise for that or something. Like the next
Kickstarter.
Our new GoFundMe campaign to fundraise for that. Yeah. And like, you know, we've been talking about Trump for months, like how much we're over him and we didn't want to give him any attention. But I feel like because he's so dangerous, we actually do have to talk about him because this is how Hitler got elected. I think he is the most accurate. Like, people always want to throw the Hitler card, like they did it with like Barack, but like he's actually one of the most accurately like persons who's like Hitler, because when Hitler was rising to power, a lot of people didn't take him seriously. Not the entire population did. They were like, he'll never get elected. It'll never go that far. And I think the same thing is happening. Let us not forget, people thought Arnold Schwarzenegger was a joke when he was a governor. When he was running, and he signed both of our graduate
degrees. Both of our degrees are signed by Schwarzenegger, and it's really frustrating.
All fun and games until you forgot to go to the voting booth.
I know. And here's my thing about Arnold Schwarzenegger, since you brought him up.
Yeah.
I, for some reason, would give him more credit if he stayed in politics after he was a governor.
True.
But the fact that he was our governor,
right back into
and now
movies.
He was in a terrible-ass Terminator movie where he fought himself.
He went right back into making movies. But that's the thing. It's like with Trump, it's literally just an ego thing. And with Schwarzenegger, it was just an ego thing as well. And talking about Trump, I read this article about how this whole entire thing is going to actually do a lot of damage to our country, whether or not he gets elected or not. Mm-hmm. The repercussions for the next generation mm-hmm. are already there. Because now school, like, the younger generation are seeing this as appropriate behavior and ways to think about women, minorities, and other people. There was this example of...
Right?
Like, and yeah, so there were these kids, there were these high school kids at the school in Indiana mm-hmm. who were chanting, build the wall, build the wall, build the wall at a basketball game playing a predominantly Latino school.
Oh, shut up. Really?
Yeah. So these, like, it's... Oh, and then there's this example of these this third graders. There's this woman.
Oh, no.
There's this woman who wrote about, she had to go, like, get her child out of school because she said, I just got a call from my son's teacher giving me a heads up that two of his classmates decided to point out the immigrants in the class who would be sent home when Trump was president.
No!
They singled him out and were pointing and laughing at him as one, and because of his skin color, and he had to, like, leave the class. And this is in the third grade in Fairfax, California. In 2016.
You know what? I'm not surprised because recently I was told by a coworker that his daughter came home and she was worried. She was in the third grade too. And she goes, I'm worried for so-and-so because I'm afraid that he's going to get deported when Trump is elected.
I mean, this is literally like some Nazi Germany shit. Like, we should be all way more afraid. Like, this is scary because it's not like it's just like a small, like, he's doing really, really well. This is terrifying.
Right.
And so, like, you know, I've had people who are like, oh, you know, there's bad politicians who run in all these all countries. We've had this before. But not, I've not witnessed, like, I've not witnessed the country so violent before.
Right.
Like, my heart goes out, and I want to say a big, for anybody who's going out to the Trump rallies and protesting, I'm all for, I love protesting, I'll be out there and I'll chant whatever you want me to.
And I don't say that.
Just give me a sign and a banner, I am there. Oh yeah, yeah, if I believe in it. I'm like, what's this?
I'll protest.
Free Rosie O'Donnell. Free Rosie O'Donnell. I don't know why she was captured. Why she, what happened?
But you're there at the protest. You're there.
I'm there. But like I would, and I'm not usually one who's afraid to protest, but I would be terrified to go to a Donald Trump rally and protest. So my heart goes out.
Yeah, because it's scary as hell.
There's like, you're seeing these images of all these people just being violently like pushed around, and like there were some protesters who were pepper sprayed by the police at one of these things. Like,
oh my Lord.
And it just, it's like something out of the 1960s.
I know. The thing that really scares me the most about is not necessarily Trump, because to me, he's just like a clown. He's an idiot, asshole clown.
Didn't he tell people, like, he's like, you should look at my penis or something? His penis keeps coming back into play.
He needs to stop. He's an egotistical, like, ridiculous
that's
thing.
Inappropriate for any fucking presidential nominee. But and then kids are watching this and
they think it's appropriate. Weird. But here's the thing that pisses me off and that makes me really worried are all the people who don't see him as a clown. They're basically using him not as a scapegoat, but like a conduit to showcase their anger and fear. You know, he is merely the vessel that these people are using to legitimize their hate. And that's what I hate. That's the thing that scares me the most, that so many people are so ready to be angry and hateful, they'll use this clown Trump as their reason.
Yes, because now the phrase telling it like it is just, it's really meaning I can say racist shit or I can say sexist shit, you know? And it's like, it's, I feel like it's out of a reaction to the change that has actually been happening, you know, having our first Black president, which I think is still amazing that you and I are alive during this fucking time when, like, it's huge, big deal. And I think also the Black Lives Matter protests happening, like, now people are like, well, I want to be angry about something too, because I think, and I'm not saying, I was recently went to the bar with some friends of mine from, they're visiting from the cruise ship, and, two of them were Canadian, and, you know, I was sitting...
Oh, just to pause you, James used to work on a cruise ship.
Yes. So that's what. Didn't know. I used to be an entertainer on Royal Caribbean Cruise Line, and what was I talking about?
You went to the bars with your old cruise ship co-workers.
Yes, I went to the bars with them, and, oh, God, you know, at one moment, it's in the Upper West Side, and I had this moment, it was the first time, because I live in Harlem now, which is amazing. Oh. I love Harlem.
There is a rose in Spanish Harlem.
Bubbling brown sugar. Bubbling brown sugar. Do you know about Bubbling Brown Sugar? Do you know about this musical? Yes.
The play that your mom was in. Of course, I've heard it 1,000 times.
We're gonna do a huge segue sideways. I might cut all this, but I might not. Bubbling Brown Sugar, if you guys don't know, my mom did a musical at the Berkeley Black Repertory Theater, which sounds amazing. I'm gonna tell you, Aneke has stories about this theater too.
Because I went to one show.
How was that show, Aneke?
Inspiring.
Inspiring. Wasn't someone's wig falling? Like, wasn't someone's wig falling off?
There was all sorts of. There was wigs falling off. There was a curtain falling down. There was some banaca that was sprayed that made the whole place smell like mint. It was a show. But I got to support Black people, and I'm very proud, and I'm glad that I did.
Why are you laughing at that? That's a good thing. But my mom's show, Bubbling Brown Sugar, is this musical that talks about, like, the Harlem Renaissance, which is an amazing thing. It's just a very... Yes. And then, like, the second act takes place back in time, but they time travel. Like, the whole community time travels because they touch the magic tree stump.
Oh.
And...
What?
I think, like, that same stump that's used for the Apollo.
Yeah,
and
I was going to say Showtime. Time traveling.
They all go, whoa! But then they come back in the second act, and you actually don't realize they've time traveled because they are wearing the same costumes until someone says, wow, it's 19, da da da.
Oh, my God. Like, oh.
And then this woman was high-kicking in the aisle and, like, kicked my dad's head. Someone's shoe went flying off. A wig went flying off. And I say all this to say, Berkeley Black Repertory Theater is an amazing idea. And I think that should be our next GoFundMe campaign. Because you and I should...
support them.
You and I should run that shit. Because it's being run into the ground. My mom's always like, that theater is just gonna be run into the ground. Like, Black folks, we can do better.
I know.
We deserve better. We need better.
Right, and we need better funding to fund us.
Yes,
and then we need to get a better director
and better writers. And because that's the thing, we need to go to these schools. Because, like, so I think someone's just like, I have an idea for a show, and had they gone to school and been able to, like, workshop it, they would have, like, nixed the time traveling tree stump of life.
They would have worked it out. Yeah. So that's a good point that you're bringing up right now. Let's twist this whole thing around into a positive.
Yes.
If you have funding and support and you're able to afford a dramaturg and all of that stuff, your play's going to be great.
Yeah.
But if it's just you trying to struggle out in Berkeley in some rundown theater,
it's going to be shitty and terrible.
You'll have Aneke and James giggling at you.
Yeah, this is going to happen. And yeah. What was I talking about before I even got onto the subject? There was something
else. You went out with your cruise ship friends. Oh! You went out with them.
Yes. Back to the point. So I went out with my cruise ship friends. And
yes.
Like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God. Like, this is the first time I've been, like, the only Black person in a place in New York. And I'm in this bar at the Upper West Side. And then they bring up, I can overhear this conversation. And they're my friend, this friend, I don't mind. I know she's not listening. I love you, but okay. I'm just gonna leave it at that. She says, she's like, well, I just don't understand. She's like, I mean, it's like when they got mad at Beyonce for, you know, dressing up in the Indian garb for that Coldplay music video.
Oh, we talked about that.
I know, and I wanted to be like, you should listen to my podcast because we talk about this. And she's like, I just don't understand when it's appropriate for us to, you know, when is it appropriate reappropriation and when is it appreciation?
Oh, no.
And she's this white Canadian girl, well-meaning, but it's just like the whole entire... And I had to sit there because I'm like, ugh, I have to be the voice of all minorities. And I'm sitting here, and part of me, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I had my drink. I don't want to have this conversation. And that's the thing, like, as a minority, like, when you're a minority or when you're a strong ally, you have to have these conversations all the time.
Right. I think it's fine to pick and choose, though. I hate to say it, but sometimes you don't want to overexhaust yourself. Sometimes I'm like, today,
and I had that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that moment, and I was like, no, I gotta educate. I'm gonna put this down in here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, you know, that's the privilege of, like, you're not having to understand that, or you're not having to understand, like, I know that you're upset because you feel like you're being attacked because you're just trying to appreciate. And I'm like, hey, I'm all for it. If you want to wear, you know, if you want to wear this Indian garb and you've done the research for it and you're really owning it. It's coming from a place because you've researched this. And she's like, well, but it's just the song. I was like, there was nothing about the song that was like,
there's nothing, India nothing, Bollywood. Nothing.
They could have said it anywhere else. They could have made it like a gang fight in Texas.
Yes.
It could have been where she's from Texas. So it would have been more appropriate. Like,
right.
Could have been a million other things, but that's the thing is, like, you know, And I understand there's a frustration from the people who are the majority or the people who they're feeling frustrated because they feel like they're being attacked.
Right.
But again, like, it's not about you. And I know you're used to things being about you, mm-hmm. but this is just like, to me, it goes back to like, again, if someone says that something's offending them or they're having their feelings hurt by it, instead of me defending my right to do it.
Back off.
Back off and listen and just right. maybe take it in. Take off the right. Indian headdress when you're going to Coachella.
Right.
Like, I used that as an example, and she was still confused. She's like, why can't I wear my Indian headdress at okay. Coachella?
Here is the game changer. This is what you say. I can't believe she said that. But okay. This is what you say when you are, let's say you're a minority and you're an ally, either one. And somebody's like, but I want to dress up. Like, you know, I want to wear a sari for Halloween. You go.
Oh, God, please. You punch them in the face.
Or not even Halloween. Let's say separate from Halloween because it makes it obvious. They're going to a
costume party, like a St. Patrick's Day costume party.
There we go. And that's the hitch. If you put something on and you go, is this a costume? You're appropriating.
Yeah. Yes.
If it's a costume, it's appropriation.
That's good.
Like.
That's perfect.
Is it? I mean, are you wearing it to tribute? Are you wearing it to talk about something? Are you wearing it to start conversation? Are you going to educate people? Or are you wearing it because you think it looks cool? Yeah.
Like, when I wear my Luigi outfit, it's because I want to create awareness about a top. Luigi's important. And, like, where would Mario be without him? And, you know.
But wait, which Luigi? John Leguizamo Luigi or a traditional Luigi?
Should I call it traditional? I think John Leguizamo was trying to bring attention to the Luigi crisis. So I'm in full support.
Yeah.
Last thing I just want to talk about, you can put me on blast about this. I have to apologize.
We'll see.
I have to apologize to everyone, to the world.
No.
I made a post on Facebook. I thought I was trying to be funny. I just got back. In my defense, I just got back to the country, and I don't understand everything that's happening. So I'm going to use that for another 2 weeks.
All right. Yeah, this is good.
Rihanna has a new song called Work. I have only heard it away from the country. And in it, like, I don't understand what she's saying through half of it. And I made a comment on Facebook, Rihanna, girl, what are you saying? I don't understand. Work, 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 wah, 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 ah, da, 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 na, 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 na. And then some people liked it. They're like, I thought I was just being funny and witty. I was, you know, home alone and I wanted to connect. And then
home alone to connect.
People, thank you, Ashley Smiley, if you're listening. Thank you. She awoken me to my, and maybe you didn't know what was happening either. But apparently, this, she's speaking the
Jamaican patois.
The Jamaican patois language, right? So that's in the song. Mm-hmm. And her being an island girl, she's like, you know, got this platform. Mm-hmm. She can, you know, maybe she can hybrate or cross-pollinate words and music genres.
She's illuminating it. She's bringing it forth.
So I was wrong because I totally was being fucked up about, like, you know, she's representing her culture, and I'm wrong. And, you know, I have West Indian descent, and I should have. I feel like an asshole.
But it's okay.
I didn't know.
As soon as you have a couple. No, okay. So here is what I saw. It was kind of funny.
Because Aneke saw the whole thing.
I saw the whole thing, and thank goodness I was a couple steps behind, so I didn't have to be the one. Me and James were talking. It was really ironic because we were talking and trying to figure out when we were going to record, and then you were like, work, 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 and then I posted a video of a pig dancing.
To that song. That's like, good, and that kid doesn't get it either.
And then I went to look through Facebook, and then I saw that you posted that thing, and I was like, oh, no. Because I'm Jamaican.
Right.
Not me, like, my grandma... Like, my grandma, yeah. My grandparents are. Right. So, I don't know Jamaican patois, but I recognize it as soon as I heard it on there. And here's the separation. I don't know what she's saying, but I know that it's Jamaican patois.
So, you're not going to make some jokes about her gibberish, which I and a lot of people have been, like...
And it's not. And here's the other thing. I'm going to also use this as a way to talk about linguistics. A lot of people tend to think that Jamaican patois or quote-unquote Ebonics or whatever, different dialects, because Jamaican patois is English. Mm-hmm. It's just a different dialect.
Right.
Because language mutates as time goes on with different influences and different where you're at. a lot of people tend to look down on it as like poor people speak or improper, not the king's English, when really it's just the same.
Right.
It's just what happens over time. Like, for example, a lot of Polynesian languages, they are all separated by just one vowel change. Oh. Because in different islands, it just mutates to change in a different way.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of fascinating, actually, when you really research into linguistics and like all the different ways that like Jamaican Patois has changed the King's English by the influence of all the different combinations of cultures right. in the island. A lot of people think that that's what should have happened to America because that's fusing of cultures did not happen here due to like segregation and all the other stuff that's happened in America. But that island culture and language is technically what happens when everybody gets smashed together.
But hasn't it kind of happened like when we say tight or like hella? Or girl, or
sure.
Oh no,
yeah.
Oh no, she didn't. Like so, you know, evolving it.
Or hunty, yeah, hunty. Like different types of like, bitch. And even in the Bay Area, I just recently said something. I was hanging out with my friend Tamar. Shout out to Tamar,
hey,
who's from Michigan, and her roommate Julie May, who's from the Bay Area. I said bootsy. I said something like bootsy.
I love that word. That's hella bootsy,
right? Tamar had no idea what it was because that's not in Michigan. That's a Bay Area word.
Bootsy. Ooh, she's wearing something bootsy. So bootsy's like, it's like whack. It's like stupid. It's like.
It's stupid. It's dumb.
That is bootsy.
Let's bring it back.
All right. Bootsy. Let's go to the next bootsy corner. Oh, wait. My corner's not going to be bootsy. I'm sorry.
There's nothing bootsy about this podcast.
Ain't nothing bootsy about this podcast. That should be if we ever need to rebrand ourselves, that's what we'll call it.
Ain't nothing bootsy.
Ain't nothing bootsy. All right, girl. Let's go to the next corner where there ain't nothing bootsy about it.
Let's go.
Back. Minority corner. No. We're back. Talking about Latinos.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me. What's going on in this corner?
All right. So you know how I am been on this kick lately about, you know, expanding, you know, Minority Corner. We're a huge umbrella. As one of our listeners likes to remind me often, my boyfriend. Always likes to remind me, you know, if you're a Minority Corner, live up to the name, you know, of, you know, being... And the history of Minority Corner, where that name comes from, I propose this as a little history corner about Minority Corner. Do you know where that our name comes from?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Minority Report?
No. When I was in high school and all like the When I was in high school and all the college prep classes, there was a core group of us like minorities who we were all in all the same classes together and we were always in like the back corner together. And so we used to nickname ourselves Minority Corner. It's to help. Aww. We would laugh.
Tribute.
We would laugh about it. It's kind of sad, but it helped us get through high school. As like the
I think it's important. I'm glad that you guys banded together. That. I wish I had something like that. Yeah.
So a little history about that. So, and in that Minority Corner, we represented a lot of the minorities around. So we talk about the history. You know, you and I, we talked about this about like who was allowed to vote before the Voting Rights Act of 1965. We had talked about that.
Oh, right. Yes.
And so it made me think. And then I saw this article, John Leguizamo. He recently came out and he was talking, not came out of the closet. He came out and talked to people. Wow. Could you imagine people take it on the run? They're like, Minority Corner says John Leguizamo came out.
I know. We need to watch ourselves before we actually get a good large listenership before we start claiming
people
things.
They listen. What I mean is he came out and said
came out of his house
he came out of his house to talk to the world. He's also 51. Do you know that man is 51 years old?
I haven't seen what he looks like right now, so I can't say if he looks good or not, but I'm just gonna assume he looks all right.
He looks like he's an older gentleman.
Okay.
So he said that Latino students feel invisible because of like when they're going over history and things that I didn't even think about. I'm so focused on like, you know, my Black life mattering, which it does.
Right.
But 45% of Latino kids drop out of high school.
Shit. 45%.
And they're the largest minority group as well. So he said this thing that I thought that was really interesting. He said, you know, just imagine you're a white kid. She said, just imagine you're a white kid and all of a sudden everybody's Latin and everything they're teaching you is Latin. And you don't hear anything about yourself or about your contributions. You don't hear about George Washington. You don't hear about Thomas Jefferson. And you feel like you haven't contributed anything. How would you feel?
Right.
How would you think of your future? How would you think about your participation in American culture?
Right.
And The statistics has proven that minorities, when they learn about their culture, they actually do better in school, obviously.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. You want to know about yourself.
So it's like, and so we really need to have not just a Black History Month, we need to have like an Asian American History Month, we need to have a Latino History Month, because we need to learn about all these different groups and these cultures who have a strong history and what it makes to make this crazy fucked up country.
Right, well, let me just...
We all have a hand in it.
Well, we need to promote it more too, because I want to say... I could be wrong about this, so correct me, but I believe May is Asian and Pacific Islander month.
Okay.
March right now, the month that we're in, is Women's History Month.
Go ladies.
And then Latino History Month, I believe, is October. I could be wrong. And I know that Native American History Month is in November.
Everybody still gets a bigger month than us, but okay. All right, that's fine. It's not a competition.
I know, 28 days, whatever.
How do we get the shortest one? Could we at least get, like, January? It's got, like, 30, I think. Can we switch that up?
Well, I think the history of it was we had a week in February because of Martin Luther King.
But we picked the wrong week.
And then they were like...
Why did we pick it in February? Damn it. Damn. We didn't know we'd get a whole month. We were happy to get a week. We're like, fuck yeah.
I know, it's true. It's so true.
So we all know about the 1965, the Voting Rights Act, but 1975, there was the extension of the Voting Rights Act. Now, this is really important because this extension ended the discrimination against so-called language minorities. So, because before that, if you didn't speak English, you weren't able to vote. So this was like a barrier towards Native Americans and Asian Americans, Hawaiians, so they were, for at least a decade after 1965, these people were not actually allowed to vote because they didn't speak English.
That's bullshit.
Right, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So,
I have a question.
Yeah, what's up, girl?
What about European immigrants who didn't speak English?
I think they fit underneath that same thing. I think, actually, as I go through the history of this, I'm going to answer that in this timeline.
Ooh, okay.
So, let's look over the Latino history from the 1900s till about the aughts. I'm going to read some highlights here.
Okay.
So, in 1903, in Oxnard, California, more than 1,200 Mexican and Japanese farm workers organized the first farm worker union. So this was called the JMLA, the Japanese Mexican Labor Association. Later, it would be the first union to strike against the California agriculture industry, which already has become a powerful force. Because, you know, a lot of these Latino workers and Asian workers were the people who were out there in the farms.
Right.
So back in 1903, their civil rights was already starting. So some people think about the civil rights only being in the 60s, but as we're going to see through this history, that Latinos have been paving the way and have actually helped for leading the way for even like Martin Luther King. But
you
don't hear about any of this shit.
Yeah, I didn't.
So in 1904, the U.S. establishes its first border patrol to keep Asian laborers from entering the country by the way of Mexico. So a lot of these things that affect one group actually tend to affect everybody.
Right.
In 1910, the Mexican Revolution forces Mexicans to cross the border into the U.S. because they want to find safety and employment.
Right, okay.
In 1912, New Mexico enters the Union as an officially bilingual state. Did you know New Mexico is bilingual?
Huh.
Did you know New Mexico is bi? It's a bi state.
James making history sexy.
Sexy history. And one of the state constitution prohibits segregation for children of Spanish descent. So they were trying to segregate up to that, but they were trying, there was a state law that was saying you couldn't do that.
Don't do it. Good.
1914, the Colorado militia attacked striking coal miners in what became known as the Ludlow Massacre. More than 50 people were killed.
Oh, my God.
Mostly Mexican-Americans.
Oh, damn.
11 children and 3 women.
Oh, that's so fucked up.
In 1917, factories and war-related industry needed more workers. So as Americans were leaving to war, Latinos from the Southwest mm-hmm. began to move north in large numbers. That's how you start to see more Latinos in the north of the country was during the war.
Oh, okay.
And so they were finding jobs as mechanics and furniture finishers, upholstery, printing press workers, meat packers, just all like that sort of industry. That's where they started to move up there.
Mm.
And then in 1917, the U.S. Congress passed the Jones Act, granting citizenship to Puerto Ricans under U.S. military rules since the end of the Spanish-American War. So that's in 1917.
Because Puerto Rico became a territory at that point, right?
So granted, then they're like, hey, you can come over here if you want. So now let's jump to the 20s. Ooh, the 20s, bubbling brown 20s.
Ooh, the roaring 20s.
Woo! Not so roaring for everybody.
Okay, all right.
Sorry. So, San Antonio's Orden Hilos de Americas, it's the Order of the Sons of Americas, organizes Latino workers to raise awareness for civil rights issues and fight for fair wages and education and housing. So that was in 1921.
Oh, wow.
So they're already starting.
That's 1921?
Yeah, I'm going to say this just because I can. Why were we late?
Because we were.
Why were we late to the civil rights?
Because we were coming back from slavery.
Fair enough. Okay, we're still trying to bounce back. Okay, all right. I'm like, y'all, where
we
was
just we? Became humans.
And this is, you're right, because actually in the 20s, especially like in New York, we were living it up in the Harlem Renaissance, and like in the 20s, we were having a good time.
Right.
So we're like, can we party? Woo, can we just party for a second?
Let's just take a break, and then we'll jump into it.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. Thanks for clearing that up. Let's see. Oh, 1928, Octaviano Lorenzano. You know I'm good with names.
Mm-hmm.
Octaviano Lorazlolo of New Mexico became the first Latino U.S. senator.
Oh.
In 1928. So, to go back, after when slaves were free, it was left up to the states to establish voting rules and laws. So, certain states, different cultures could vote. Different minorities could vote. It was left up to the states. And sometimes the states would create really ridiculous laws to make it harder for different people, like the literacy test. So that's why it was so big in the South, because they were like, you ain't voting, right?
Right.
And so
which
it wasn't
makes it complicated and not a fair United States vote if it's state by state.
That's true, yeah. Oh, and that's why, and so that wasn't until 1965 it made it a federal law that you couldn't discriminate.
Got it.
Yeah. Then in the 1930s, Benjamin Nathan Cardozo, a Sephardic Jew, I don't know what that is, but anyways.
I think it's Sephardic and then, I'm blanking on the other one. It's like the region of the world where that tribe of Jewish people originate from.
Gotcha.
Either Mediterranean versus Europe.
Okay.
Ashkenazi is the other one too.
Oh, look at you.
I don't know.
Someone knows.
Librarian.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. Not your ex-Jewish boyfriends.
Yeah.
Benjamin Nathan Cardozo. He became the first Latino.
Andrew's not Jewish.
I know, but I said your past boyfriends. He's not your boyfriend. He's your fiance. Need I remind you?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You're getting married next month. Come on. Remember. Okay,
no.
Sorry to mention that. Anyways, this dude became the first Latino named to the U.S. Supreme Court. So that was 1932.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know, right? Yes. So in 1933, Latino unions in California lead the El Monte strike. It was the largest agricultural strike at that point in history to protest. The declining wages. So they were only making, I think, 20 cents an hour or $1.50.
Jesus.
For a 9-hour day of work.
What?
And what's interesting is that's what people in prisons make even less than that today.
Wow.
Yeah, they make 30 cents a day.
Jesus.
So think about that as you're wearing your Nikes.
Yeah, Michael Jordan.
And then in 1938, Louisa Moreno, she's going to come back up later, but Louisa Moreno, she founded the first, it was this Spanish-speaking People's Congress called El Congreso del Pueblo de Habla Española.
Yay, me. Oh, okay.
That was on December 4th, yeah. And it was the first Congress to bring all Spanish-speaking people together. So Cubans, Spaniards from Florida, Puerto Ricans from New York, Mexican, and then Mexican-Americans from the Southwest. So it was the first time they were trying to unify, hey, we all speak Spanish together, and we're all getting fucked over. Let's all come together.
Yeah. So Luisa
Moreno, this, you know, badass, mm-hmm. you know, chica lady, like, she was, like, leading the charge.
Nice. Go, Luisa.
She's gonna come back later into our history. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. I know. I'm bookmarking her.
It's like House of Cards shit, which I just finished season 4. Oh. Fucking crazy. Ugh, I love that show.
Oh, wow.
1939 novelist John Steinbeck in 1939, he wrote The Grapes of Wrath, and he was talking about the plight of the migrant workers back then, so in 39, trying to bring some attention to it.
Oh, wow. Good for him. I didn't realize he was into that. I mean, I knew he was into migrant workers, but not.
The book is hella long. Ugh, too long. Okay. And when do they eat the grapes? When do they eat these grapes?
There are
That's what
grapes.
I kept wondering. What is Eaton Gilbert Grape? Isn't that a spinoff? Isn't that like the sequel? Isn't that with Leonardo DiCaprio?
If I engage in that part...
My boyfriend loves Leonardo DiCaprio. He doesn't.
If I engage in that part of the conversation, my librarian degree will be taken away from me.
Fair enough. I will let you hold on to that. In 1941, the U.S. government forms the Fair Employment Practices Committee to handle cases of employment discrimination. Latino workers file more than one-third of those complaints from the Southwest.
Wow. That's a lot.
1942, hundreds of thousands of Latinos served in the armed forces during World War II. And going back to this, going back even further, mm-hmm. Latinos have been mm-hmm. in a lot of our wars. They actually, Latino generals in the Revolutionary War. No one talks about that.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, Spain like linked up with us or something. Oh. About 10,000 Latinos also were in the Civil War. 10,000 fought in the Civil War.
I had no idea.
And this is the most interesting one. There was a lady who fought in the Civil War, a Cuban woman. What? Her name is Valeria Vasquez, and she fought in the Civil War as a man.
What?
Where is her movie? I need to see this. Hollywood, get to work.
Hella go see some Bonetta Vasquez in a movie.
Voletta? I don't know who Bonetta is.
I thought it was Bonetta.
Vogue, Voletta.
Oh, Bonetta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do kind of like Bonetta, though.
No. Oh, so then we get to the 40s. So 1943, Los Angeles erupts in the Zoot Suit Riots. So this is the...
Oh, right, yes.
The Zoot Suit Riots. This is the worst race riots in the history to date at this point. For 10 nights, American sailors cruise Mexican-American neighborhoods in search of Zoot Suiters. So these were young, hip Mexican teens dressed in the baggy pants, long tailored coats. These military men drag kids, some as young as 12 years old, out of movie theaters and cafes, tearing their clothes off and viciously beating them. For 10 nights.
Oh my God.
Like, they're terrorists. These people are fucking terrorists, right? So that's
terrorist activity.
I didn't know what the Zoot Suit Riots were. I thought it was a fun song. Oh. Remember there's that song? The Zoot Suit Riots. Riot!
Yeah.
Grab a bottle of beer. That is not a...
it's a horrible thing that happened in history.
So why is the song so fun to swing to?
Because of that stupid swing dancing revival and the people who sang it, Cherry Pop and Daddies, I'm looking at you and I'm putting you in the corner for
Fuck
not spreading
you.
Awareness and just making the song fun.
Because that's reappropriation. Like, that is, you put on a costume and called it a song.
Right. And didn't even bring up the history. There you go.
Yeah.
No history, it's a costume.
It's a costume. 1944, Senator Dennis Chavez of New Mexico introduces the first Fair Employment Practices Bill, which prohibits discrimination because of race, creed, national region. The bill failed, which obviously, but it's an important predecessor for the 1964 Civil Rights Act. So this kind of paved the way for this. And then we jump to...
Started warming the pot up.
And then a lot of Latino veterans return home from the Civil War, and they have this new sense of feeling of unity, because they're like, you know, we fought for America, we're part of America.
You mean World War II?
Yeah, World War II. What did I say?
Civil War.
They
would have been hella old.
They were late. You guys, that war ended a long time ago.
Hella old.
Late. You 2000 and late. So they got back from whatever war it was at whatever time it was.
World War II.
You know I'm not the history person based on the last episode. The fact that I have these timelines, someone wrote this, so it helped. So they started to use their GI benefits to buy homes and go to college. So it helped to get more Latinos into the education system.
That's good.
In 1945, this one's a big one. 1945, mm-hmm. Mexican-American parents sue several California schools. That's right, California, you. Challenging the segregation of Latino students in separate schools.
Oh.
The California Supreme Court rules in the parents' favor.
It's oh, good.
The court case Mendez versus Westminster, arguing segregation violates children's constitutional rights. So this actually is the case that was the precedent for Brown versus Board of Education in 1954.
How do we well, don't I know about this?
I know. Like, all of these things intertwine with all movements for all races.
Right.
God. And then in 1953, oh, things are going to get dark. 1953, okay, during right. Operation Wetback from 53 to 58.
The worst name ever.
The U.S. Immigration Service, they arrest and deport more than 3.8 million Latin Americans.
Terrible.
So many U.S. citizens are just deported unfairly.
Terrible.
Including Luisa Moreno.
Who no! organized.
Yes, she's gone. She's gone. Luisa Moreno, gone. Right?
Can you guys imagine this? This is a big deal because these are people who are Americans, who have been here for years, mm-hmm. who speak the language, who are part of the culture. They're American fully, thoroughly, and then they just get kicked out.
It's similarly to what Donald...
Because of a racist society.
And it happened in the 1950s, and you guys, that's not that far long ago. And Donald Trump is talking about doing very similar things. History can repeat itself, so... We can't just shrug this sort of shit off.
Right.
And we're going to go to the 60s. The 60s. Hey, mama, welcome to the 60s.
Doo-wop, doo-wop, diddy, doo-wop, diddy.
So we had, in 1962, air flights between the U.S. and Cuba are suspended following the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right.
Prior to the crisis, more than 200,000 of Cuba's wealthiest and most affluent professionals fled the country fearing Fidel Castro and his communist regime.
Mm-hmm.
Many thought that Castro actually was going to be overthrown and that they'd soon be able to return back to Cuba, mm-hmm. but...
He's still...
That did not happen. Because they probably were thinking like, oh, I'll just be gone for just like a year and I'm just going to go for a holiday.
Meanwhile, 2016.
What? It's still going on? Ah! In 1965, Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta founded the United Farm Workers Association in Delano, California,
mm-hmm.
which that became the largest and most important farm worker union in the nation. Huerta...
Si se puede.
Si se puede. We used to chant that all the time at protests in UC Santa Cruz. Si se puede.
Yeah. Yes, we can.
Yeah, all the time. Yes, we can. Huerta became the first woman to lead such a union under the leadership of UFW. They also joined the ranks of the Filipino grape pickers in Delano. And the grape boycott became one of the most significant social movements for farm workers in the U.S.
Yeah, this was huge. And I've seen Dolores Huerta's talk, and she's amazing. I love her. She's the best.
Yeah, wasn't she like, she was at Santa Cruz a lot or something?
She was, but it was when I was working at Mills, she went to talk there, but she's great.
And then in 1965, Luis Valdez, who he did stuff at UC Santa Cruz, he found the famous El Teatro Campesino. It's the first farm workers theater in Delano, California, and he was using theater to entertain and educate farm workers about their rights. So he started this Latino civil rights movement through using theater.
Cool.
Oh, this one's interesting. In 1968, Latino high school students in Los Angeles staged a statewide city walkout protesting unequal treatment by the school district. Because prior to these walkouts, these students were routinely punished for speaking Spanish in their on-school property. They weren't, and so they would get punished. And this is even if like, it's like during lunch or after school. They were then discouraged to go to college because they were speaking their native language. There was like 13 arrests during this protest and this walkout.
This is ridiculous.
But it eventually resulted in like the school being like, this is a dumb thing.
Good.
But this is similar to what happened in Spain and the Catalans. Like Spain is like a 17 different countries that they're like, all right, let's unite. But not everybody wants to be united.
Yeah.
There's like five different languages in Spain. And recently the Catalonians, which is where Barcelona is.
Yeah.
They wanted to... There's all these flags. And I said to my friend, I was like, oh, what's that flag for? And they're like, that's the flag for separation. Because the Catalonians want to separate from Spain. Because Spain
now?
Just had... Yeah, I know, it's a little late. But the Catalonians want to separate from... Could you imagine trying to start your own country now? And like...
I can't even begin to...
currency? I don't understand. They wanted to separate. And they just had a vote. And so there's like a lot of... But when they were underneath the regime of their dictator, I forgot his name, Franco. I think it was Franco. When underneath the their dictator, they made it illegal to speak Catalonian, so their own native language. So
That's oppressive.
And most of the wealth does come from the Catalonian region. And so they're like, why are we in an economic crisis? We have money.
Yeah, we're funding y'all.
They don't take as many. Yeah, they don't take as many siestas. That's one thing to look at. Like, I'm all for siesta, but if your economy is going to shit, maybe. Too much.
Maybe take a shorter one. A shorter siesta.
Because sometimes, I'm not kidding, I love Spain. It is like my favorite place to go. I love everything about it. But sometimes some people will go on siesta and just not go back to work.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Spain.
Oh, yeah.
And
you
it
know.
Shuts down.
Yeah.
It shuts down in the middle of the day. Which, you know, is great. But what if you're hungry?
You don't get to eat. Yes. So in 1975... like I talked about earlier, non-English speakers testify about the discrimination they face at the polls.
Mm.
Congress votes to expand the U.S. Voting Rights Act to require language assistance at polling stations. So Native Americans, Asian Americans, Alaska Natives, and Latinos benefit most from this provision. And the original act was passed in 1965, but it applied only to Blacks and Puerto Ricans. So...
interesting.
Yeah, so there's this other group of people who are like, wait a minute. They're like, yeah, we get to vote. They're like, no, you don't. Because you don't speak the language.
I know, that's rude. God,
yeah.
I had no idea. This is fascinating.
So in 1986, on November 6th, Congress approves the Immigration Reform and Control Act, providing legalization for certain undocumented workers, including agricultural workers. So that's a good one. That's a good thing that happened. And Ronald Reagan did something nice.
Oh, what? Really? What did he do?
Yeah, in 1988, President Ronald Reagan appoints Dr. Loro Carvazozo as Secretary of Education. So that was the first Latino appointed to be a presidential cabinet. I don't know what his
platform is.
So that
What's that guy's platform?
Yeah, look at that. But hey, all right, you know numbers matter. Yeah. And then as we go into the 90s, this one's really interesting. In 1992, the Los Angeles Police Department cracks down on Latino immigrants during the Los Angeles Rebellion after the not guilty verdict of Rodney King.
Oh, right.
Right. So again, like, all of these different things begin to get intertwined with each other, right? This fear of just other races.
Right.
And then from 1994 to 1995, there was Proposition 187 in California. It was
I remember that.
Yes, it was the debate over immigration, particularly undocumented immigrants. It was to approve the measure meant preventing undocumented immigrants from obtaining public services like education and health care, which
that's
shitty.
Really,
like, they're here.
Everybody has a basic right to health care and education.
Yeah. And education, why not? I don't want dum-dums running around being sick. I don't want no sick dum-dums. I don't want you sick. I don't want you being dumb, breathing your sick dum-dum breath all over me. No. Go get your health care and go get your education. I don't have time.
I don't care where you're from, but I want you healthy and I want you smart.
It's not that hard. Two things I want. God. So just wrapping up a little bit, and there's a lot, I could go into this forever, but the last thing I wanted to also kind of touch on is following 9/11, Arab Americans and other Middle Eastern folks were experiencing a backlash between hate crimes and harassment in the police. Based on, you know, and then, so we had these stronger border securities and...
Oh God, I remember this.
It actually just like really just was, it affected everybody. Like pretty much all non-white Americans were then just being profiled. I get profiled I've been flying in and out of the country. I always get stopped for the surprise security checks. Always.
You do?
I think it's because I went to UC Santa Cruz. I'm on a list. And I took a class with Angela Davis.
I don't know. I went to Santa Cruz. They don't mess with me.
And I took a class with Angela Davis.
Because I slip. I'm a fiver.
Oh.
No, I don't. No, I don't. See? I don't.
Oh,
that's messed up.
Last thing I just want to touch on, just because like this is, I found this and there's so much more history and information, y'all. And at first I was just going to like briefly touch upon this and say, look it up. I don't trust you all to look it up, so it's like I'm going to
And it's fascinating.
Because we are not taught any of this
Learn
shit.
Learn about your history and what's surrounding you. It's fascinating to me. And even if you like learning about yourself and only want to learn about yourself.
Stupid.
Different aspects of your own history lie in other people's histories.
All of this affects everybody. Like, again, like a lot of the groundwork for, you know, the... You know, Martin Luther King marches were through this, you know, like it affects all of our movements are so much more intertwined than we actually think. And in 2005, just as key voting provisions to the Voting Rights Act, so the Voting Rights Act was actually about to expire in 2005.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So English-only conservatives oppose its renewal because of the expense of bilingual ballots, right?
Oh my God.
So it's just an excuse to keep people out. Yes. But George Bush, this is what, George Bush, 2006, he reauthorized the act.
Oh.
And it's now named the Fannie Lou Hamer, Rosa Parks, Coretta Scott King, and Cesar Chavez Voting Rights Act.
Are you kidding me?
2006.
That's the clunkiest name. I'm into it, but it's clunky as hell.
He was like, everybody get in here.
I know, come get on. All these names in here.
Yeah. Maybe back in the 70s, there was this Latino group that was... or like maybe it was in the 60s, there was this group that was, they were using, inspired by Dr. King and Malcolm X, and using a lot of the same ideas to push their movements and organize their people.
Yes.
So it's really amazing that, you know, we just don't hear enough, like, I guess we don't realize that, I mean, Latinos have been fighting in this country forever, and they've been in this country for over 500 years, longer than the country has existed.
Exactly. Hello.
Well, the Native Americans were here, and then the Spanish were here, and so, anyways. But they've been here, and they have history, too. And their history is also our history. Right.
It's American history.
It is. And I think it's so important to, you know, it's important for us to learn about our histories because we're that much more, we'll be more successful in school. There needs to be, like, the schools that have, like, a Latin American studies classes, those students do better. Even, like, queer history, there needs to be more queer history in our schools. We need to talk about that Leonardo da Vinci was gay. We need to talk about...
Yes.
We need to talk about all those folks that I talked about last week. Because, for example, you know, there was that 12-year-old... Mm-hmm. There was that 12-year-old boy in Fresno. This broke my heart. Did you hear? The 12-year-old boy in Fresno.
Yeah, I did. Tell everybody.
This 12-year-old boy in Fresno, 12 years old, killed himself.
A baby.
Killed himself because of the harassment and bullying he had gotten. He was on the cheerleading squad, like 12 years old, and feels like he can't do it. Like, already thinks that this world hates him enough. Had maybe students been learning, like, the more that we learn about each other's history, we realize how important all of us are. And that it's not just this white dude hetero world that we're living in. We all have amazing things that we've done, and we're all absolutely important. But if you're not hearing these stories, and if you're not feeling empowered and seeing other people to look up to,
right,
and just you'll constantly feel like a second, not even human, not even a second class citizen, like less than human, less than anything,
right? You're closed off. And even for those of us who are white, male, and straight, you will benefit from hearing everybody else's history, because you'll realize how much of a multifaceted history that you're a part of as well.
Yeah.
We all benefit from hearing these different aspects of what makes this country great.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for sharing this, because a lot of this stuff, I had no clue. You know,
my mind was fucking blown.
Yeah. Right. And I pride myself of knowing at least a good chunk of information about all the different groups of people here in America and a little bit of their history. But there's so much that I don't know, you know, and it's always good, no matter how old you are or what level of education you have. There's something that you don't know. And it's always good to research. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, girl. You're coming up next. I can't wait to hear more about black people. And their weed.
Yes.
And their weed.
Yes.
Can't wait. Smoke it up. I'm going to light up a doobie right now so I can
get ready. Warm up. Warm yourself up.
I'm paranoid and scared. The walls are closing. I should have gotten high first.
Just put on some Pink Floyd. That's a bad idea. Okay. And a poncho. Get yourself a hacky sack.
All right, I'm good. Okay. I'm good. I'm mellowed out.
Okay, good.
See you in the next corner, girl. Here we are in that gay's corner, bubbling brown sugar. I'm really stoned right now. Ow.
Because I was high.
All right. Is this the part where the listeners can call in and just get free marijuana? Is this what you're doing?
No. Oh.
Okay.
I don't got no card for that. I don't know.
And like it just has like a magical marijuana tree growing.
Just don't send me to jail, please. No.
Oh God. All right. I smoked marijuana in Amsterdam for the first time. I'd been there so many times.
For the first time?
I never did it when I was, I never really did it. And I smoked with my friend.
I swear I've smoked with you in college.
No, I did, but I haven't done it in Amsterdam before. Oh, where you can go into the coffee shop and like, yeah. So I did.
Which is good because we're going to be talking about weed legalization and people of color.
Yay, do it so we can get out of prison.
Yes.
And the economy wins. Okay, I don't want to steal your thunder. All right, go. Listen, I'm listening.
So basically, like you're saying, and a lot of people probably already know this, weed is slowly becoming decriminalized. Pretty much, I think it's just commonplace knowledge that weed's probably going to become legal throughout the United States, and I would say at the most next 10 years, but probably even more recent than that. Mm-hmm. Just because people are more accepting of it. People are kind of understanding that it's not as serious as it once was portrayed.
It's better than you than alcohol.
Yeah.
There would be like less deaths from things. Like it actually has like medical purposes as well. Like alcohol is just a toxin and kills you and creates like alcoholism.
Right. And meanwhile, weed reduces the pressure of glaucoma in the eyes. There has been studies where it lessens seizures. It also, some people say, and I haven't really
it opens up the spirit and the chakras and the soul.
Sure. All right. A little bit of that. Your Santa Cruz slip is showing, James. But here's the thing. Weed and white people have always been pretty chill. They go together nicely. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, weed and brown and black people have been not so happy together because of its portrayal in American history. And this is just, I'm just talking about U.S. history here.
Okay.
So one thing I want to bring up, marijuana, right?
Mary Jane.
Is
Mary Jane.
Right. It's Spanish for Mary Jane. It literally is the Spanish version of Mary Jane.
Who was she and why? Did she accidentally light a bush up on fire and get hella high?
But don't you see there's the implications right there already targeting Black and Latino people? Because Mary Jane is what Black people called it. And then Spanish way of saying it is marijuana. So here we go, already targeting Black and brown people, connecting them with the drug.
Question, do you know how the first person got high was? Because I was wondering this. Did someone accidentally like light a bush on fire?
Probably.
And then the community got high and they're like, let's do that again.
I would guess so. I mean, it's the same way people learn how to eat apples and stuff. They see an animal eat it. They see them acting a different way. And you go, oh, maybe I need to do that.
So they saw like a bear like smoking it up and they're like, I want to do that.
Maybe. I don't know. Okay, so just to go on with the negative portrayal of weed and people of color, in 1920s, the New York Times would always post negative things about Latinos and Black people regarding crime and weed use. Like, here's a couple quotes. Like, one was, a marijuana-crazed Negro went berserk in a crowded express train. And another one, a Mexican crazed by marijuana runs amok with a butcher knife. One, I could tell you, you don't really get crazed when you smoke weed.
I was going to say, no one's going to go murder someone. I'd be too scared to. I'd be in my paranoia corner not trying to murder anybody.
Or I'd be in my relaxation corner being like, I'll do it tomorrow. The reason that I'm bringing this up is because since hundreds of years ago, we're close to 100 years ago with the 1920s, but before that, the stereotype that weed turns minorities into animals has been present. And it's still around. Like, Trump has said things that have alluded to that as well, even currently. And it's one of the reasons why marijuana, even though it's, like, we've talked about, like less dangerous in some respects, quote unquote less dangerous, I don't want to be, you know, called on it, than like alcohol, is a Schedule I drug.
Oh, it totally is. How many drunk drivers are there in America as opposed to stone drivers? Like, it just absolutely, like,
but weed is still a Schedule I drug, which is an illegal substance, which is in the same classification as heroin, LSD, and meth.
And they have very huge differences, like...
Right. So when you get caught with weed, you get a harsh punishment because it's a Schedule I drug. But, like we were talking about, everybody smokes weed. Let's face it, everybody knows that old white guy, hippie guy smokes weed. Everybody knows
your mom
that,
probably
like,
smokes, your uncle.
Different people, your
the janitor down the street.
Somebody who smokes weed.
The lady at the bank.
Right.
Your realtor. Your realtor Everybody. Was high when she sold you that house.
Everybody. So then tell me why black people are up to 8 times more likely to get arrested for possession and more likely to get convicted.
I'll tell you why. Racism.
Yes.
It's not an accident, and that's not a cute accident. It's the same way, like, crack cocaine, you get more of a prison sentence for crack cocaine as opposed to cocaine.
Right. It's the negative perception.
Well, and because mostly, like, poor communities and black and brown folks do, you know, crack because it's cheap, even though it's whack, crack is whack, and cocaine's mm-hmm. more expensive, and the more, yeah, so it's right. a racially profiled drug.
Right, and that's kind of why I wanted to bring up the history behind it. So when people say that black people are 8 times more likely to be convicted of possession of weed, it's not because more black people are smoking it and more black people have it. It's just because of the racial profile makes cops and everybody else more prone to thinking that black people and Latinos will go crazy when they have weed, because this has been in the news since earlier than the 1920s.
And there's even this image, it's like when white people get high, it's like, oh, look at them, like Sunflower, she's stoned and she just sees this beautiful energy.
Right.
Leroy.
What's like going on?
Like, okay. I don't know. But when he smokes hot pot, people are like, ooh,
scared. He's a low life. He's going to go.
He's not doing nothing with his life.
Yeah, lazy or on a rampage with a butcher knife and a train. So here's the thing that's happening now. This poses a complicated issue because weed is now getting legalized in certain states, like in Colorado and in Oregon. It is now currently recreationally legal. So you can go there, smoke weed without any need. If you want to smoke some pot, you can go smoke some pot. And then
pack your bags.
And then in even more states, it's medicinally legal. Like here in California, if you have a prescription, you can go and get weed.
It's not legal in California? I thought you could smoke weed everywhere.
No.
It smells like weed everywhere.
No, medicinally.
But it's decriminalized here
yes.
in California.
Well,
you get like a slap on the wrist.
In certain amounts. Certain okay. amounts. Because if you have a large amount, then you get, you know. Anyways, so because of this, there's a huge cash grab now. People are making a ton of money off of weed. They're even calling right. it the green rush, like the gold rush. Like so yeah. many people are like, oh, it's legalized. I can now make a lot of money off of this, right?
Yeah, totally.
Black people are not a part yeah. of this.
I was going to say, you know what this sounds like? Some white people who are like, I'm going to make hella money. And that's the whole entire thing. I always heard this, that the reason why, like a lot of these mm-hmm. drugs, if they could make a way, because a lot of these drugs are so on the black market, if they could find a way, these mm-hmm. big corporations could find a way to make money off of things like cocaine or any of this shit, it'd mm-hmm. be out there on the market. Because they mm-hmm. sell all kinds of drugs out there through pharmaceutical companies that will fucking murder you and kill you.
I know.
Like everybody's on all kinds of crazy ass shit, but it's just that it's gone through the right channels for certain people to make money off of. And right. so because it's so black marketed, they were like, nope, it's illegal. But now they're starting to figure out how they're going to fucking make money off it. And that's insane.
Exactly.
Off this shit that people were getting arrested and put into prison for like ever.
Yeah.
And now some rich white dude's going to make millions and billions of dollars off of it.
I know.
I am sick to my stomach.
Okay. So why aren't black people a part of it? Black people aren't a part of it because one, every state has legalized medical or recreational marijuana, they bar people with drug felonies from working, owning, investing, or sitting on the board of a cannabis business. And remember, black people are 8 times more likely to be arrested of possession with weed, which means
yeah.
more black people have records, so therefore they cannot be a part of it because of this law. And then also, the second part is that racism that's ingrained that we talked about earlier, it yeah. has influenced people like investors, banks, and cities. When black people are asking for loans, permits to open a dispensary, minorities are more likely to be categorized as risky because of these racist thought processes that have been happening. And this translates to about 1% of the 3,200 to 3,600 storefront dispensaries are black owned. So only 1% of those.
But that doesn't make any sense.
I know.
That breakdown doesn't make any sense.
It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. So just to kind of follow up on it just to kind of give a little like happiness to the end of this.
Oh, there is a happy ending?
A little bit. There's some hope. So
it's like a new hope. Marijuana, the new hope, episode 4.
I know. Yes. So Oregon has been starting to expunge people's drug records so they can participate in the weed business. So,
thank God.
Yeah. So Oregon is being like, well, if you got convicted of like weed possession, then we're going to get that off of your record because it's now legal. So you can then go into selling it.
Every state should do that, especially if it's marijuana, because if you have a criminal record, you can't vote.
Right. Right.
So I know. All these, like, also, again, and that goes back to the Voting Rights Act that we were talking about, mm-hmm. and that's all very purposeful, because if you have, like, black people, I forget, we make up, like, a 45% of the prison population or something, mm-hmm. so all those people can't vote, like, that's all very... It's not an accident that that happens.
Right.
And especially, like, if you're targeting certain groups... to be arrested because of certain drugs that you know that they're carrying or whatnot, and, like, you get a larger set, you know, all that sort of stuff. Like, it's all very purposeful. And right. So
it's,
they need to get rid of that.
So for all of you that can still vote, California and Massachusetts have these same initiatives that are going on the ballot in November.
Oh, so this is super huge.
If you are in California or if you're in Massachusetts, go vote on these initiatives in November.
Yeah.
So... and this makes a lot of sense because a lot of people in the weed business want to employ people who are in the know, who have sold drugs before.
Makes sense.
If you have a record, you can't do it. And that means a lot of white dealers who haven't been caught or who have enough lawyers and enough money to back them up so they don't have these records are able to get into this business before people of color who do have these records.
And who've been at the game forever. We've been selling that right. weed, smoking that weed. We know it better. We know it the best.
So there we go. So,
smoke that weed and vote.
Yeah. Go and vote.
Smoke that weed and vote. Thanks, Aneke. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Thanks for that.
La da 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 da.
Because I was high and I voted and I accidentally voted for Trump.
No!
So smoke after you vote. Don't do it beforehand.
There we go.
Because I will be upset if you listen to this podcast and you vote for him. I will not be happy.
God.
You will not get the Minority Corner t-shirt.
Oh, we got t-shirts?
Oh, yeah, it's in the works.
Oh, okay. I want one.
You gotta pay for it.
Oh. Yeah. Quizlet Corner.
Get it, quizzes.
I'm ready.
You have six things.
Six.
But only one of them is not true.
Okay. I'm ready.
There's a lot of things I wanted to squeeze into the episode. Yeah. All right. One of these is not true. Sam, Black Lives Matter has been named as one of the grand marshals for San Francisco Gay Pride in 2016.
That's true.
Aneke, we have to wait till the end.
All right.
We're going to throw that one out. Yes, that is true. And I think I love that idea because I always talk about how there needs to be more solidarity between, like, all of these movements, as we talked about earlier, they're all so intertwined.
Right.
And, like, you know, and some people who have intersectionality, like, it's the Black Lives Matter movement is incredibly important to them. And here's the thing. Black Lives Matter was going to show up anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they went ahead and included them because the same thing happened with Occupy, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they weren't included, and Occupy just took over. So it was smart of them because Black Lives Matter was going to show up anyways.
Speaking of intersectionality and parades, I really wanted to bring this up. Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, he marched in the St. Patrick's Day parade for the first time this year because they allowed an LGBT float to be in it.
Oh, good
job. So go Bill de Blasio. He's married to a black woman poet who used to be a lesbian. He's awesome.
She used to be a lesbian?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn. I want to see that movie. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So that one's already off the table. So five left. One of them is not true.
Okay.
Our farmer bro, might remember him from a few episodes back, Martin Shriekel, He's the guy that...
Oh, that guy.
He's the guy that raised the price like by like 100,000% on HIV drugs. He just turned 33 the other day. And to celebrate, he threw himself a party in which a lot of people came. He had a huge amount of supporters and turnout people who are just like in favor of him.
Okay.
Number two. Mm-hmm. A gun-loving Florida mom was shot by her 4-year-old son hours after bragging he gets jacked up to shoot.
God. You said that was in Florida?
Mm-hmm. You never know. Mm-hmm. That state is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
My boyfriend wants to go to Florida. I'm like, we got to make it quick. In and out.
No. Yeah. In and out. Drive through. Just fly over it. Fly over it.
Like, there it is. Heathers, the 1980s classic movie Heathers, is making its way back to TV with a sexy new gay twist. Could be true. Could not be true. Another one, shaving your pubes can lead to STIs. Could be true. Could not be true.
Okay. This is and a grab bag.
There's like no Tony the Tiger like tying. And the last one is a Cleveland man in the process of murdering his boyfriend called 911 and asked them why it was taking so long.
Why are you taking so long? Is he dead yet?
I'm murdering my boyfriend. Oh, God. One of these is not true. What do you think?
I know which one.
What?
Ain't nobody went to that guy's party. Come on.
That's right. No one showed up and he threw himself a party and posted like he had a birthday cake that had like $100 bill on it with his face on it. Oh, and no one showed up.
Of course not.
He threw an online party too, so you didn't have to go to his house and people still didn't come.
I know. Good. Good for him. That restores my faith in humanity, that people actually think that he's a dumbass because he's the worst.
I do want to talk about the Cleveland man. So, okay. The Cleveland man, because this is, it's crazy, right? But it's even crazier what happened when he was on, okay. So he calls, right? And he's like strangling his boyfriend. He's a black guy. He's strangling his boyfriend.
Oh my God.
He says, I need a cop because me and my boyfriend got into it and I'm about to kill him.
Okay.
And the female dispatcher asks, is he a white male, black male? He responds, yes. He responds, he's black. Why does all this matter?
While he's trying to kill him.
Yes. And she says, sir, it's proper procedure. And
what?
Yeah. And then it took the cops 12 minutes to respond and get there when their average response time is like 3 or 4 minutes.
This is ridiculous.
So isn't that like, the whole story is fucking crazy, but the fact that like, and so if he would have said white, I bet the cops would have been, that's their procedure is to ask that.
Do they really ask that? That's nuts.
You can actually, and the most disturbing part is you can actually listen to the full audio, 12 minute audio recording, and you hear the choking sounds of his boyfriend in the background. The whole situation's fucked up, but.
What?
And the police said that the dispatcher did a good job in handling the situation.
No!
She followed procedure.
That's bullshit. Ugh.
But the woman who got shot by her 4-year-old son, she's okay. But
okay,
she
good, needs but to, still.
Girl, you need to
keep your guns away from your children. Take the bullets out. Put them away. Don't do that.
And the sexy new gay twist about Mean Girls, there's a gender queer named Heather Duke. There's a lesbian named Heather McNamara and an overweight Heather Chandler.
Oh, okay. Oh, and, did you hear, speaking of queer reboots, Xena Warrior Princess is getting rebooted and she is going to be out and proud.
Because before she was like in the closet.
Well, they like heavily alluded. Even they, back like, then. And, like they took baths together and gave each other like sensual kisses. Like, it was...
Even back in like the 400s, she had to be in the closet, or the glass closet. It's like, we see you, Xena. We see you.
But you better stay in there.
Right. No. This time, Xena's 2016. Come on out, girl.
It's good. I'm welcome. She's welcomed.
Is that her?
I think that's a wonderful way to end Quizlet Corner.
So long farewell, Wiedersehen. Na na na.
That was my favorite part of the song.
Speaking of adorable European children, I don't know if you saw, but there's pictures of me and my boyfriend with these babies from these Dutch babies.
Whose baby was that? And why did you have that baby?
We were at his friend's house. Okay. We
posted this on the website. Kidnapped a baby.
yes. So, I have it here. No, but there was like these babies and they're so cute. They were so cute. And when they went to bed, I wanted them to sing that song. Because actually we were in the, I wanted them to sing that goodbye song from The Sound of Music. I was like, dude, I thought all kids did that in Europe. That's how they said
goodnight. That's just like what they learn. That's their regulation. Like,
it's because their parents were like, European baby. Their parents were like, it's time to say goodnight. And I was like, ready for the song and dance number. And that it didn't
happen. And they were just like, goodnight.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened. Yeah. But they were really cute.
Oh man. Well, we're back.
It's kind of snowing outside and we're back and we're leaving. So this is like a hello and a goodbye.
Oh, hello, goodbye. Not even a song.
That's not. You say hello and I say goodbye. Oh yeah.
That's hello, hello.
Goodbye. That's a rude song. Oh. That's
I know.
It's like what? You guys are not on the same page and I kind of need you to get it together. Just an idea and a thought.
So good. I love it.
I've missed you, Ineke.
I miss you too. Oh, did you get your plane ticket yet?
All right. Thanks everybody for listening into Minority Corner. And didn't I say it last time? I'm like, I'm going to do it right now. I knew you were going to ask
me. I know. And then you were like, wee.
I was with my boyfriend. It was the time. And somewhere along the line, we have a lost episode. We have like several lost episodes that y'all don't even know about. So one day
we're building them up.
We'll build them up. So there it is. Mm-hmm.
Get ready. If we sound younger in an episode, it was lost.
Yeah, you'll know why. Well, thanks, Ineke. I had lots of fun. Minority Corner. High five.
I had lots of fun too. All right, yeah, let's do it.
One, two, three.
And
I'll edit those so they go on top of each other.
Oh, what about a round?
Round of applause for Minority Corner. Have a fabulous week. Remember, hashtag Be Fabulous Fridays. Post you being fabulous or anybody else being fabulous because it's hard.
Yes.
It's hard being a minority or ally, and we're all fabulous in our ways. So let's uplift each other, support each other, and be fabulous.
I love it.
All
right. Yes, hashtag Be Fabulous Friday. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all. Work, 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 work.